if they're just starting out, I won't let them invest, because your biggest asset right now is them. I want them to learn. I want them to learn about this, but I don't want them to invest, because they need to invest in themselves first. So they need to grow as a person, and I will help them out. If they want to find a deal and they have time for it, which they won't, but if they want to find the deal, then go for it. But if they want to actively, passively invest, it's a no-go for me, because they need that money right now to grow.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
David Igelwitz is a pediatric dentist that transitioned to a full-time multifamily investor. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Pleasure's mine. Three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show, 90 seconds or less. Where did you start? Where are you now? How did you get there?
Where did I start? We're talking about way back in childhood. Where did I start? Or where are we talking about?
You know, it's your story, but, you know, probably maybe to keep it in the 90 second window professionally.
All right, professionally. So I started off as a pediatric dentist, thought I was going to be a small-time pediatric dentist in a small-time town, thought I was going to open up my own practice, ended up merging with a big player. And then we grew that practice quite successfully. He was the lead on it. And then I was always looking for something to do more than that. And I was always looking for something to invest in. Try the traditional routes of stock market, try day trading, tried all that stuff. Saw some of my friends get wiped out in 2000, then in 2008. And even though my dad was a statistician, he came to me one day and he was very involved in the stock market, big believer in it, always thought it would always go up. But I kept seeing businesses that would go broke and I never understood that. And so they would lose money. I know I'm trying to keep this under 90 seconds. So I'm talking faster and faster to get it all in.
You're good.
All right. So then what ended up happening was he came to me one day and he came to me in his typical Russian accent because he was from over there. And he said to me, David, you know, I had this C student. He was a statistician or professor. So A students were always the best.
Right.
In most things. And he always viewed education as very, very important. He would buy me anything related to education. But he's like, I had the C student. He came back and he was in the master's MBA program, got C's throughout it, but he invested in multifamily. Well, he didn't know it at the time, but apartment buildings. And he's like, he called him a mega millionaire and he's super happy. The takeaway I got from that was happy. And then it was the millionaire. And that's my premise, is happiness. I love happiness. And he was happy. And he was a multimillionaire. I can't stress that enough. And he was just like enjoying life. And my dad couldn't understand it. And he said to me, he just got lucky. And that was the first step. And that was way back before 2000. And that should have been the wake up call, but it takes me several years or 20 years to wake up. So fast forward to about 2015, 2016, my dad puts his arm around me. We're walking on the beach. He was sick. I'm actually at the beach, because I like to visit it from time to time, where our last walk was. He puts his arm around me. He's all jaundiced. He's sick. I know things aren't going well. We're walking on the beach, puts his arm around me, and he says, David, I'm really proud of you. Oh. And I was like, thank you, Dad. And I didn't feel proud of myself. I was just lost. I was making all this money. I had this great family, but then I was bike racing. I was doing all these things I was just wasting time. And I didn't feel successful, even though on the outside, everyone saw me as this happy-go-lucky, had everything, had nice cars, nice house, great family, but I just felt lost. So it takes me fast forward is that we merged with private equity in the dental business, got a payout the following year. And then I got really scared because all of a sudden I was double checking everything my financial advisor was doing. I always did everything myself. And now I would continue to do it myself, but I was relying on an advisor who was very nice, as they always are. But there were just things that just didn't match. And then I started looking for other things. And then being a pediatric dentist, taking care of the patients that I took care of, I realized that they stayed in apartments that I kind of was starting to veer towards, and it all of a sudden everything merged together. And I was like, oh my God, I can help people out with their quality of their housing. And at the same time, I can actually help out other dentists and help them invest so they don't follow the same path that I have followed. Right. And then they can feel successful and they can get involved. And so that's like a short story, even though I went way beyond 90 seconds on my journey through into multifamily.
I think that's great. No, thank you for taking the time really to share, you know, that gives some color because it's, you know, you hit on some things here that I think a lot of people, I would have never thought, okay, you're a pediatric dentist. You've merged with another big time player in the space. You guys are making money. You guys are, you know, you're out there helping kids. You're seeing, you know, hey, look, you can tell I'm 40 years old. Not that I'm a pediatric dentist, but I'm 40 years old with braces. Like this is where I am right now. Yeah. And it's like, I love my dentist. I needed help. So you're helping people out. Yeah. Like, hey, that's really cool, you know, but yet at the same time, you knew you were missing something. It's like, gosh, there's something else out here I'm supposed to be doing. So talk to us about that transition then of, you know, not just being able to take this idea to other dentists, but then having the courage and the knowledge to then go start buying your own assets. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces there. How did you put it all together?
Now I'm going to take you back a little bit. So it's now 2016, 17, and 18, and I'm looking for my own assets. So I was still had this individual mindset that I could take on the world myself. Right. And because I'm just used to it, I'm only 5'2", 5'3" on a good day. And so I'm just used to, like, if I bike race, I'll just drill it to the ground. And then I'm just used to that. And then right. I'll drop everyone else. And so I had that old mentality. That old Russian mentality, it's funny that everything, not really funny, it's ironic, everything that's going on in the world right now, and then that, and you see how it doesn't work. And it still was in me.
Right.
And I had to release that. And the first release that I did of that was investing passively. It was the scariest thing I've ever done because at the time, wiring money or wiring funds, I should go back a second. I could not find any great deals myself. Because right. I was being too individualistic. So I was contacting all these brokers in between patients. I was, you know, doing all this stuff, but I wasn't really making any headway. So what I ended up doing was I was like, you know what? I'm going to invest with the best. I'm going to investigate a whole bunch of different syndicators and I'm going to find the best and invest with them. And that's now how I'm going to proceed. The scariest part was going into the bank and setting up the wire because I was like, it's for real now. And a lot of people, especially syndicators, don't realize when they're dealing with a newer passive investor, how much trust that passive investor is actually enabling you or, you know, feeding into you and believing in you. And it's this whole thing and this whole mindset of I was used to somebody else taking care of all this stuff. And now all of a sudden I'm sending a wire into abyss, hoping it gets to the right place. Number two, are they for real? Like, is this a scam? And so it was all that. And once I got through that mindset, that it was life changing. The minute that I, you know, signed over the wire paper, remember this was 2019. You still had to, sometimes you still have to sign, but the minute I did that, it changed me. And it was like game on. And then I was a different person. I was like, I can rely on other people. Mm. And then I'm going to fast forward you a little bit.
Okay.
And then we can go back. It made me a believer. And it made me a huge believer, and it came true during COVID. I had in the beginning of COVID, and we'll go back and forth, but the real belief came in, and it was I started seeing the distributions, and then the distributions kept going on throughout COVID. So I was at home being a dentist, highly trained professional, and on top of it, not only highly trained, but a lot of experience too. And I couldn't work. I was shut down. My stocks were losing money. My muni bonds actually went down. Everything went down. Everything went down, except for guess what? My multifamily assets in the passive income. And that's the huge play. And that's what I set to believe on that. And then it was, bring it. I need to be active. This is too much fun. I fell in love with it. And I honestly thought I could be passive, but my energy just geared me that I needed to drive towards the active side. So
that's awesome. Kudos for you for following that. What does your business look like today?
My business looks like today is multiple deals with various syndicators. And now I'm starting to take down several deals myself. So Prostoa Capital, that's the name of the company, Pro for Professional, Stomatology, and IG also for Iggy, but Ingenious Growth. And that I created that to actually help other dentists invest passively in other either syndications or just help them out and help them grow, that knowing that multifamily is a great investment, and also to help them start doing either what I do, invest passively, or look at other people's passive investments to see if it's acceptable for them to invest in it too. So right. Really as a give back.
Right. You know? What's that conversation like? I mean, with highly trained professionals such as yourself, you guys have spent a ton of time in school. You spent a ton of time being, I don't know how long it takes to be a pediatric dentist. You know, I have no idea. What is that? 10, 12, 15 years out of high school?
Well, it's 4 years. Yeah, it's 4 years of dental school and then 2 to 3 years of a residency program.
Right.
And then so
plus a 4-year undergrad, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So you're 11 years out. And so now you've got all these highly trained professionals and you're like, hey, waving the flag, there's something really cool over here you've got to see. What's that conversation like?
It depends where they are. So if they're just starting out, I won't let them invest because your biggest asset right now is them. I want them to learn. I want them to learn about this, but I don't want them to invest because they need to invest in themselves first. So they need to grow as a person and I will help them out. If they want to find a deal and they have time for it, which they won't, but if they want to find the deal, then go for it. But if they want to actively, passively invest, if they want to just passively invest, it's a no-go for me because they need that money right now to grow. And they need it to invest in their own pediatric dental business because they need that business to grow so that in the future, in 10 years, then they can start allocating money. And it's a good rule to follow. And so, but I want them to learn about it and to show them that there's this avenue. Now, if they start setting up, you know, self-directed IRA, that's a different story. That's sure. A totally different story. But some of the people that I deal with still have tremendous amount of debt from their student loans, are trying to buy their own first house. And it's just a lot on their plate. Even though they have these big incomes, 6-7 figures, it's just a lot because their expenses are a lot. So once they get that in order, then we can talk about investing passively. But remember, I still want them to learn about it.
Right.
And that's the key, is that they need to learn about it because this is a huge, I mean, I think that this is the most powerful way to grow your hard-earned money. So
for sure. How do you go about educating these people that are coming alongside you? Maybe you're like, hey, you're not ready to invest yet, but you need to go out and get education. Is this something you guide them along? Do you send them to certain resources? What's that process like?
So a lot of times I'll just send them to books. I start usually with, you've heard this before, but Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because
no,
it creates
never
that
heard.
Mindset. I knew you would say that. And so it creates that mindset because that's the first part, is creating that mindset. Right. And what I didn't mention, which for me was very powerful, was joining a coaching program. Because what that did, there's a lot of ups and downs, as you know, in this field. Everyone sees the ups. They don't know the roller coaster ride that it right. even get, you know, to close a deal, let right. alone to run the asset. And so there's a lot of hiccups on the way. So setting yourself up with a book like that, just to get started and get that mindset going, is a wonderful resource. And then we go from there. And so then I either go one-on-one or I take them out to dinner and we go over some basic underwriting and we go over some basic terms. I also put on my website, I made some like YouTube videos, you know, basic stuff. So they know a dentist that's actually doing this and that's explaining the terms. And right. there's people that do a much better job than me, but it's that relationship and knowing that I did it, maybe they can understand it because they know I know the dental lingo too. So
yeah, that's really, really key, is being able to speak to your audience and have that, not just that common bond, but be able to use the same language and say, hey, I know the position you're coming from. This is where you start. This is what we're going to look at. So that's absolutely awesome. Tell me, what do you want the future to look like? I guess there's two questions. Where are you going? And then how are you protecting yourself in kind of today's economy? I mean, there's a lot of things that we're looking at. We've had obscene rent growth. What are you doing right now to make sure that you don't get caught holding the bag buying something, you know, that's way too expensive?
I think if anyone had that answer, I mean, that would be crystal ball. So where do I see myself? I thought before COVID that I wanted to retire. I will never retire. I love this stuff. absolutely love it. I see syndicators that are like, oh, I only want to be passive. I can't be passive. I mean, even if you gave me, it's people think that sitting on a beach all day is what they really want. You don't want that. You need drive to live. I've seen too many people die too early or just fall apart because they were either given everything or they left too early. You right. need a passion, whether it's a charity or something. So where do I see myself is just keep escalating the business and keep helping out other dentists and helping them grow. But the biggest success story is giving back to the dental community and helping them grow so they don't see the 2008 again. I mean, I was walking around a dental meeting late 2008, to early 2009, actually, and the faces of these 70-year-old dentists that just lost, I mean, my 401k became a 2-in-1k. Theirs, I mean, they got wiped. And so they were already retired. Their hands were shaking and they had to go back to work just to create that income. And yeah, you can say that it took them 2 years and then they were back. Those 2 years killed them. Right. I mean, that just totally destroyed them. So I never want to see that again. So moving forward, what are we doing to protect our assets? Well, I started spending money. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but we now have a huge regional. She was ex-regional manager for a big company, over 20 years of experience. And we hired her to help us with asset management. And that is the huge missing block that bridges the gap between the owner and the property manager, because I think that is the best investment that I can make. And is you invest in somebody like that so they can truly transform the property because they know the inner workings. Me and you think we get the conversation right with our property managers. We don't. We think we do, but she gets it. Because she's been there. She's been on the grassroots. And knowing what truly is important in running these apartment buildings and knowing truly important are the people on the ground.
Right.
It's not me that puts in the money. Our investors are important because we want to get them their returns. But the only way to do that is those people on the ground are the most important and taking care of those people. And so that's where I'm investing in buying. So then even if we bought wrong, which we don't, you got that. And that's your insurance. And also, I'm trying to stay away from heavy lifts. I always wanted to do that turnaround, the 50% occupied and flipping it and, you know, and just totally transforming the property. I'm staying away from those. I say this now, and then you're going to call me out on it in a year. I'm staying away from new construction right now because I see how difficult it is dealing with contractors, the fluctuating price of 2x4s and I'm trying to stay away from that kind of stuff. If super great opportunity comes up, yeah, I'm in. But I'm trying to stay away from that kind of stuff. And I'm sticking with the markets that we know that are less likely to fall into a rent control kind of area because that's going to happen. And so, yeah, that's basically it.
I love it. David, thank you for taking the time to break down your business, your journey. From a pediatric dentist to full-time multifamily, active multifamily investor. I know you're also still serving on the pediatric dentist side as well. So you got your hands full and I love it. It's loads of fun just hearing about your journey and also how you're sharing this with the world. I think the one thing that you said here was you need a passion. And clearly it seems like you have found it. And I think that's absolutely awesome and inspiring to see other people live inside of their passion. So thanks for taking the time to do that, share that with us here today. Tell me, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Oh, the best way, you can either go to my website, prostoig.com, prostoig.com, or you could email me at dsi@prostoig.com.
Awesome. David, thank you again for your time today. I do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor, and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.